One of the most vivid nevuas, one of the most visual nevuas, maybe in all of Tanakh, certainly all of Chumash, is at the beginning of the sixth parasha, beginning of Parashas Vayetze, and it is the subject of the opening Ramban in Parashas Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu is on his way out. Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he's leaving Eretz Yisrael in a position of incredible personal jeopardy. His brother is out to kill him. Things are very precarious. His brother was open about the fact that as soon as Yitzchak passes away, Yaakov is a marked man. Rivka says to Yaakov, it's really time to make yourself scarce. You'll go, it's time to find the Shidduch anyways. You'll go up north to Syria, to Turkey, to Haran. You'll go to my family. You'll meet your uncle. You'll meet your cousins, more importantly. And find a nice girl. So it's a moment of incredible transition and a moment of incredible fright and peril. And Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael for the first time in his life, not for the last time in his life, but for the first time in his life, Yaakov Avinu is going to Galus. And as you know, what happens right before he goes to sleep is interpreted by a Gemara that knows who here is Lamar Sachas Brachas. Fantastic. Tfilas HaShachar, fourth parak. The Gemara has several understandings of the significance of Shachar's Mincha Marv, one of which is Tfilas Keneged Avos Tiknum. And where do we see Yaakov Avinu's Misakin Marv? Right here. Vayefgav Makom Vayolon Sham Kivah HaShemesh. Gemara says that the verb Pegia is an unusual verb. He met the place. What does that mean? So one layer of meaning is Ein Pegia El Tefila means he davened at night. This is the official Ma'ariv. Every time we daven Ma'ariv, we're modeling ourselves after this Ma'ariv. Yaakov Avinu is about to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's about to go into Terra Incognito. He's going to a place he does not know. He's not sure what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of action coming up. And two things. Number one, he davens Ma'ariv. And number two, he goes to sleep. Both of which are important things to do at night, every night. But Yaakov Avinu's sleep was unlike yours and mine. Because in this sleep of Yaakov Avinu, he sees the most extraordinary nevuah. What's that nevuah? So we all know. He sees the Sula Mutzav Arts. You see in the Dira Maskil here. Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud Beis. Hinei Sula Mutzav Arts. V'rosho Magia Shamayma. In his dream, he sees a nevuah. There's a ladder. The ladder is rooted on the ground, deeply rooted on the ground, firmly rooted on the ground. Rosho, Magia Shamayim. For the ladder, mamash, you look up, it's endless. It's the original skyscraper. The term skyscraper is because as you know, human beings figure out how to build, exceptionally tall buildings. You stand on the ground, it looks like it's scraping the sky. That's exactly what Yaakov Avinu saw. Sula Mutzav Arts V'Rosh HaMagia HaShamayma. If you like to play Tanakh riddles around your Shabbos table, so you can ask what is the longest item, the longest object described in the Tanakh, and it's not the Teva, it's the Sulam of Yaakov Avinu.
What about
Migdal Bava? Migdal Bava, perhaps. Okay, they try it. But this Taka is V'Rosh HaMagia HaShamayma. And so what does he see? Number one, he sees this ladder. Every item here is obviously could be fraught with meaning. He sees a ladder that goes from earth to heaven. Number two, he sees malachim. Malachim are olim v'yordim. They're going up and they're going down. And then the pasuk says, Hashem is nitzav alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is atop all of this. And he says, Hinei anochi imach, I'm going to be with you. Shmartich b'cha shartelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm with you, I have your back. Wherever you go, you're going to be going a lot of different places, doing a lot of different things over the coming years, over the coming decades. I'm telling you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, I'm telling you I'm with you. So overall, the message of the Nevuah obviously is an incredibly positive one, and obviously incredibly apropos. He's leaving, he's going to Galus, leaving Eretz Yisrael for the first time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it feels precarious, but I promise I'm going to have your back. I promise you're going to be zochet to shmira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the second half of the dream is pretty straightforward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually verbally tells him the message. The question is, what's the significance of the image that he sees? Obviously, somehow related. The Sulamut of Arza, the Malachim of the Ribbono Shel Olam are going up and down. And the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis has the long medrash we talked about the other day. Goes through pasuk by pasuk. But one of the questions that Chazal are sensitive to in the Gemara, and that the Rishonim address, is you see a ladder. That must mean something. A ladder that goes from earth to heaven. And what are the Malachim doing? Going up and down. What's strange about that?
There's only one ladder.
Gavalik. Only one ladder. How are they going both up and down?
Double wide.
Good. Double width, maybe. What else? What else?
Double sign.
That might explain why they're going up and then going down. Maybe. Maybe. So Shore makes an important point. Maybe the implications are not going up and down. It's not like two lanes of traffic. They go up. And then they go down, like the center tube of Lincoln Tunnel. Sometimes it's going west, and sometimes going east, but not usually not both ways at the same time. Right? So but if this is a one-way valve, so then the next step is 1 second. So if Malachim are Olim V'Yardim, what else is strange? What's the point? Why are they doing both? And even we may get very good, larger questions, which we may get more clarity from if we dig into the details. They're all in the yard. What would you have expected Malachim to be doing?
Flying.
Flying, okay. Flying, good. Good. Why, by the way? Who told you Malachim fly?
The media.
Yecheskel HaNavi. Yecheskel HaNavi does describe in Maisim Merkava, in Yisrael for the last couple of centuries has been that we arrange to not be alert when we land the Kabbalistic first parak of the Cheskel, because as Minig Yisrael has, the Minig of staying up all night has spread and spread, so fewer and fewer, everyone's tired, you know, everyone's tired that Vasikin after a whole night up, and I think almost universally we're the most tired during Haftarah. So but the Haftarah of the first day of Shavuos is the opening parak of the Cheskel with the Maisim Merkava, which is very, very overtly Kabbalistic. It does describe whatever this means, but the description that's given is Malachim have six wings. And the other descriptions also, I believe, of Malachim and wings, Malachim and flying. It's interesting they're taking the ladder. Right? It's interesting they're biking when they could be driving the Lamborghini. And what good? And what else? Are there multiple Malachim? So what does that mean? So many different Malachim. Well, a Malach. Why is he seeing Malachim? As though somehow, who are these Malachim? Are they random Malachim? Very specific Malachim. Fantastic. And what else?
It's like normally we would think of Malachim like in heaven, I would say, so you would think they should go down first.
Ah, you would have thought there would be Yordim, the Olim. They should be starting from up top, starting from the Shamayim, coming down, and then going back up. Yeah, what else?
Isn't it that they were the ones that were going up were the ones that were, in a sense, protecting him in Eretz
Yisrael? Good. So what? Fantastic. So one of the responses to Aaron's question is exactly what Yoel is saying. One of the responses is, it must be there was a changing of the guard. And that also explains why we're talking about multiple Malachim and how it works with the one-lane traffic. Because the Malachi, perhaps, one approach is, and this comes up the end of this parasha. When Yaakov Avinu on his return to Eretz Yisrael, the very, very end of the parasha, there also he has a vision of Malachim. He calls the place Machanoim, because apparently there was a pair. Machanoim means a pair of Machanos, a pair of encampments. Why a pair of encampments? So Rashi quotes one approach is Malachi Eretz Yisrael, Malachi Chutzlaretz. Malachi Eretz Yisrael are coming back on duty, and the Malachi Chutzlaretz are leaving. See, here perhaps it's the reverse. Malachi Eretz Yisrael are leaving, Malachi Chutzlaretz are taking over as he's getting ready to go into Gaul. So that's one possibility. Yeah, what else?
According to that Midrash, whatever it was, Gemara, why was it that when they were changing guards the first time, Yaakov only saw it in a dream, and then when they changed back, Yaakov actually saw it in real life?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's you want to know how come here he sees in a dream, the end of the parasha, he sees the malachim. He sees the malachim awake, apparently. Maybe.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of a general question that Rambam had fought over a couple of weeks ago, beginning of parasha Vayera, when Avraham Avinu sees the malachim who come to visit him at the beginning of the parasha. So Rambam and Ramban have a vigorous debate there. Ramban quotes the Rambam and Ravuchim, and he disagrees over to what extent do people see malachim when they're awake, or to what extent is every vision of a malach when you're either in the context of nevuah or in the context of a dream. So the end of the parasha doesn't say one way or the other, but it could be that was also perhaps, but Maran, it may depend on that.
Is that
Nebuah
or is that Chalom? Or is that the same thing?
That may or may not be the same thing. That's goof or part of the debate between the Ramban and Ramban. Ramban says, how can you say every time someone sees a Malach, he's a Navi? Really? So Hagar was a Neviah, and Eshos Manoach was a Neviah, and so are you sure all these people are Neviim? So that's part of the... That's part of the debate. But that approach that you mentioned, that is Rashi. That is Rashi. Rashi quotes it from the Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah is a very ancient medrash that goes back to the days of the Tanam, the early Amoraim. Olim tchilo v'achach yordim. That's a question or an observation that requires understanding. Why are they going first up and then down? He says, Malachim who are malavim Eretz Yisrael, they don't go into the chutz laretz. They go up to the sky. Malachim chutz laretz, They're gonna come even alive. Which, by the way, requires understanding also. They're like rules. Like they don't have a passport. They don't have a visa. They can't leave with them. Like, what does that mean? But that's one approach. That's one approach. Gemara has a very fascinating interpretation that I want to end with. Because the interpretation that Gemara has is fundamentally different both from what Rashi is going and for the Ramban is going. Yeah, Kasha.
The passport, it could be that the reason they change is sort of like nowadays, they represent that area, that region, for protecting. So when he leaves to a different one, he gets handed over to a different...
Zone. These malachim protect this zone, these malachim protect that zone. That is very, very possible. That is very, very possible. And if we take a look at the Ramban, I think the Ramban will give us the tools to take what you're saying and formulate in an even sharper way. Yeah?
Why does he have like personal malachim?
So here we come back, and so it sort of plugs back into what you're all saying also. So we have to figure out what exactly does it mean that malachim are protecting, or that malachim, he has his own malachim. What does all this mean? So let's take a look. Yeah? One more
Ha'ara? Isn't there a Rashi in verse 12 that each of the malachim were given one jobs? So
if
they were given one job, and they all have the other jobs, and not that they all, they can also do the other jobs.
How come they can or cannot?
Or he goes off, you're also going to each have one job of this zone.
So you're saying you understand Rashi because each one has a specific task.
Yeah.
Right? Even though we don't know enough about the science of Malachim, the Torah of Malachim, but Rashi does say that, well, sometimes job is sort of topically defined or thematically defined. In other words, two jobs that are related, every Malach is assigned to one subject. So he may have specific subtasks, but his subject is Hatzalah. His subject is Yeshua.
Yeah, that's why there's a lot of them.
Ah, okay.
Each one had a different...
So then the question is here, so is protecting Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael and protecting Avraham Chutzlaretz, are those separate tasks? Are those related tasks? So we have to think about this more.
Separate Malachim for Chutzlaretz and Eretz Yisrael, because even when the one for Avraham also goes to Lot, you say that they're both there for like saving them or whatever. Those are both Eretz Yisrael.
Could be.
To sort of answer Nathan's question, I think it could be that we see in the later parsha of Esav Malach fighting with Yaakov. So So it could be that every individual has their own malachim. It's not about that Yaakov was special and he had like his malachim written in here. It's more of a, he saw his malachim leaving, his actually saw malachim leaving him and his brother's malachim to protect him.
So this is an interesting question of personal versus a larger group. So let's feed this into Ramban. That's an important thing to think about as well. So let's take a look. Let's see how Ramban deals with it. Ramban Kedarko, he doesn't always do it, but he often does it. And here particularly, he doesn't lay out his questions. As a matter of fact, here he's just going to sort of like talk. It's a very fascinating style here. He's just sort of going to like take you through what's going on. With our eyes open, we're going to notice that he's addressing a lot of problems, solving a lot of problems that we could have in the language of the Chumash, and adding tremendous insight. Kedarko. So here we are. Hinei sulam mutzav arta rosham agiya shamayma. The ladder is firmly footed on the ground. The head of the ladder reaches up to the sky. Malachei Elokim olim v'yardim bo. And the Ribono Shel Olam's malachim are going up and going down. Herahu b'chalom ha'nevua, Rabban says. So let me rephrase what's going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing Yaakov in a Nevuah dream. Ki chol ha-nase ba-aretz nase al-yedei ha-malachim. Whatever goes on in this world is taken care of, is handled by malachim. The hakol b'gzeiras elyon aleihem. All at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The malachim are not independent actors who are decision makers and deciding what's going to go on in this world. Malachim are tools. Malachim are robots. Malachim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tools to get stuff done. Ki malachei Elokim asher shalach Hashem l'salech ba'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his malachim into the world. Lo yasu ketana o gedola ad shuvam lehisyatzev al adon kol ha'aretz. They won't make any decisions. They won't make any impact until they first consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until they first, so to speak, go back up to the Shamayim, to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the universe. He's stressing that we are Jews and not Christians. He's stressing that we are Jews and not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We're not pagans. And we believe that there's one power, that is the Borei Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who runs the entire universe. It's not as though there are all these little powers, spiritual powers, independent spiritual powers, scurrying around and doing their own thing, and this malach is doing this, that malach is doing that. That would be a pagan approach. There are a lot of gods, and you have to worship all the different gods. No. Chalil v'chas. He's stressing again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's one God who runs the whole show. Malachim have no independent power. They go back to Adon Kol Ha'aretz, to the master of the universe, to say, Hisalachnu d'v'aretz, we went down to the world, to Olam Hazeh, Yoshevus b'shalva melei acher v'dam. Perhaps we saw that it was peaceful. Perhaps we saw that it was bloody. Who yitzaveh aleihem lashuv laredes ba'aretz b'lasos t'varo. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give them marching orders. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will give them instructions. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. What's Ramban driving at and saying, telling me all this? Yeah, he's explained all of the Yardim.
And they're going up to Tel Hashem.
Right. He says, of course, it says Malachim. What Yaakov Avinu is watching is not, Ramban says, the beginning of the story. We were bothered. Shouldn't Malachim be starting in Shemaim, coming down and doing things, and then going back up when they're done? Ramban says, no, you know, why didn't he see that? And also, what's the point? How is this, what's the messaging to Yaakov Avinu? So Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing Yaakov the Malachim going back up to consult and then coming down to act. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu just showing him the middle of the story? What's the significance of knowing that Malachim go up to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get instructions and come back down to carry out those instructions? What does that tell you? What we were just saying a moment ago, that the Malachim are not independent powers. That clip of seeing the Malachim going up to consult and going back down to implement, that the message of that clip is that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the universe. Hashem Echad Rishma Echad is one God who runs the entire universe, and you see many different things happening, you see many different forces, they're all acting at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's that little clip, Malachim going up and the coming back down, is telling Yaakov Avinu that. You're leaving Eretz Yisrael. You're going to a scary place. Lavan has his own thing going on. And later on in life, you're going to be in other dangerous situations. You come back to Esav, then you're going to have Paro. So you should know, the first thing you need to know is everything that happens on this planet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, as part of Bria's HaOlam, one of the early creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, were spiritual tools. Tools that he uses to impact on this world. Tools we call malachim. Imagine for a moment, one of these classic wilderness survival situations. A fellow ends up, the plane goes down, the boat runs out of gas, whatever it is, and you're marooned in the wilderness with whatever you have in your pocket. Right? Well, heard stories like that. So often, one of the first things you do is you have a pocket knife in your pocket, and you start, maybe some string, you start grabbing some wood and start whittling, and the first thing you do is create some tools. I'll make some tools out of what I find. I'll make myself a hatchet, if I didn't happen to bring one along, and I'll make myself a fire bow, and I'll make myself, and maybe I'll get to the point where I'm, carving out my own little canoe. I'm making my own raft. I'll make tools so that I can then do things. So human beings need tools. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no needs. But early on in Bria, perhaps on day two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a toolkit for himself, which we call Malach. We don't have a detailed sense of what it is. In the Rambam, the second paragraph of Yesod HaTorah, spends a lot of time talking about Malachim, about the 10 levels of Malachim. He unfortunately does not explain to us the significance of each level. But we know that if I have, if I decide to work on a carpentry project, everyone had their projects over COVID, I decide to work on a carpentry project, I teach myself carpentry, I get myself, I order some saws, a jigsaw, a handsaw, different size nails and screws, and I get to work, and I build a bookcase. Who made that bookcase? Me. Did the saw make the bookcase? Did the hammer make the bookcase? No, I made the bookcase. I use those tools to make the bookcase, but I'm the doer. Malachim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tools. Kadosh Baruch Hu is making all the decisions. Kadosh Baruch Hu is driving everything. He chooses to use tools to get stuff done. That is the significance, Ramban says, of the opening image. The opening message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Avinu, this Chalom HaNevuah, is Malachim are tools. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, run the world. There's one power, Hashem Echad, who runs the world. And that's why you may see, it may look to you as though the Malachim work independently, but they're really acting at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what comes next? Hine Hashem Nitzav Alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up top. And he says, Hine Anochi Malchus Ratzil Hoshar Teilech, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I will accompany you into Galus. And I will watch over you wherever you are. So says the Ramban here in the fourth to last line, Herahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then shows him, Ki hu yisbarach nitzav al ha-sulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up top, on top of the ladder. Umavticho Yaakov b'havtacha gedola. An amazing promise to Yaakov. What's this amazing promise? A big promise, a havtacha gedola. Lahodiah, what makes it so great, so big? Shehu lo yiyah b'yad ha-malachim. Av yiyah chelak Hashem. V'yiyah imo tamid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells him, Hini anochi imach. I'm going to directly be with you. Other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of via the malachim. I'm going to be, so to speak, more hands-on with you. The level that Yaakov was on, the extraordinary level he was on, was even higher and greater than that of other tzaddikim. That should be a familiar pasuk from Tehillim. So Moshe Rabbeinu, I think we usually assume that that's one of the 11 prakim. That's one of the 11 prakim that we assume are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is describing in Tehillim that ki malachim yitzav alach, a person is a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a special set of malachim to accompany him, to be shomer him, l'shmarcha b'chol drachecha. But here the language is similar, but it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hino nechimach u'shmarticha b'chol shertech. I will personally take care of you. I will personally take care of you. So what does this mean, by the way? What this means is like this. Moshel ma'ad davar. Do we ever talk about turning off the air conditioner? No. So Moshel ma'ad davar dam. The air conditioner, Moshel. The eco sense, the eco-aware. But I'm talking eco-aware of like 2 decades ago. So imagine a big city. Millions of people. Maybe New York. Maybe LA, Houston, Chicago, Atlanta. Big city. Millions of inhabitants. This municipal government itself probably has hundreds of offices. Maybe thousands of office rooms. Every office, going back before the days of central air, every office has its own air conditioner installed in the window. And there's a budget deficit. The city government has to cut some spending. Limit how much they're going to raise taxes. So they got to cut spending to try to narrow the deficit. So they're trying to figure out how you cut spending. So you realize we're spending a tremendous amount of money on electricity. So much of it in the summer is going to AC. So, okay, people want to be comfortable when they work, but no one's in the office at 1 o'clock in the morning. But the ACs are often left on all night long. What a waste. A waste of energy, a waste of money. It's wasteful. So the mayor decides, mikan ve'eilach, we have a new rule. Last person out of the office at night has to turn off the AC. It's hopefully common sense, but in situations where people can't figure it on their own, now it's an executive order of the mayor. Last person out of the office must, every night, turn off the AC. How does that get done? It's a good idea. How does it get implemented? How does it go from concept to reality? Like, the air conditioner is actually being turned off every night. So there's a system in place. The mayor signs an executive order, and it makes its way through the distribution system. And that executive order is going to make its way to every single one of the hundreds of thousands of office rooms across the city. And then people will read it and hopefully turn off the AC. Mistama that day, that first day that goes into effect, the first day the executive order goes into force, the mayor himself, there'll be a photo op somewhere, the mayor himself will turn off one of the ACs. Maybe it'll be in his own office, maybe it'll be in like the Environmental Protection Office, maybe it'll be in the office of the greatest offender, whoever was wasting the most, whatever it is, right, there'll be one. Out of the 1,000 air conditioning units, there'll be one that the mayor, b'chvodo v'yatzmo, with his own fingers, actually turns off at 5 p.m. or at 8 p.m. The other 999 ACs will also get turned off because of the mayor. The mayor will cause the rest to be turned off also, but not with his own fingers. It's because he has a system, and he put out the executive order, and it made its way through from this one to that one. There's a system for getting his will done. But he could do it directly, or he could do it indirectly. He could do it hands on, actually himself with his own fingers turn off the AC, or he could put out the executive order and da-da-da-da, and it goes through all the steps, and eventually stuff gets done. Obviously, that's also not a perfect system. It's a human system, and people do their thing, and people either have b'chir chashis to either listen to law and not listen. Not all the ACs will go off, but most of them will go off through the mayor system. One of them will go off by the mayor's own hand. A mashal, only a mashal, but a mashal to appreciate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take care of tasks, can get stuff done, so to speak, more or less directly. In a hands-on way, do it himself, so to speak, or do it through the system that he created, namely the malachim, for getting stuff done. Either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. But they can be more or less direct, more direct or less direct, hashkacha pratis. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes handles us, takes care of us in a more direct, hands-on way. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us in a less hands-on way, a less direct way, a step removed. And that's what the Ramban says here. And he says in several places, Rambam says in several places, that there's a sliding scale of Hashkacha Pratis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more or less directly involved in my life, depending on whether I'm a greater or lesser tzaddik. The more I draw myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more, so to speak, hands-on HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with me, the less I connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less, quote-unquote, hands-on HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be. He'll still be taking care, he's still guiding the world, he's guiding and managing my life, but in a, so to speak, a more or less direct way. That's what this Chalom was telling Yaakov Avinu. That's what it was demonstrating, according to Ramban. It was demonstrating that, number one, everyone is handled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone's life is cared for by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, often through indirect means, through the tools that Hashem himself, through the system that Hashem himself created to do this. But in a less hands-on way, by, so to speak, signing the executive order and getting it done, Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses his tools called Malachim that he created to take care of us. Sometimes it's more direct. The closer, and it's, I don't know if that's binary, it's probably a sliding scale. The less connected I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less direct HaKadosh Baruch Hu's management of my life will be, the more I draw myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more direct he'll be involved with me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yaakov, you see those malachim, that's how things always work. Malachim come up and check with me, and I tell them what to do, and they do it. For you, Hashem is Nitzav al Asulam and says, you're getting mamish hands-on. You're getting even more direct Hashkacha Pratis. You're such a tzaddik that you're going to have even more direct, personal, so to speak, involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life. So for what the Ramban's first approach is that the Malachim represent the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of people, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of things, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of, manages life on planet Earth. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Yaakov Avinu, but you're going to get even more. That's, by the way, different than what Rashi said, which is these malachim were actually taking care of Yaakov. And I said, no, these malachim take care of everyone else. He's saying this is how life works in general. I'm showing, teaching you machshava, and then you should know you're getting me. Instead of me via malachim, you're getting me directly, unmediated. And then the Ramban goes on to give another pshat, which is that these malachim, maybe they're not the malachim that were taking care of Yaakov, as Rashi said. Maybe they're not the malachim that are sort of like sample malachim taking care of just other people, to show that Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him the contrast between how I take care of most people and how I would take care of you. But maybe these were, and this is some of you had mentioned before, maybe these were malachim with specific identities, specific roles, specific nations. He says, Al Das Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He says, those, it goes back to very ancient Medrash, Shapirka de Belezer. He says, those Hamara Ke'inyan Bein HaBesarim, Li Avram. This vision was similar to, thematically connected to what Yaakov's grandfather Avraham Avinu had seen in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. What do you mean? Ki herahu memsheles arba malchios. Because he was showing him four malachim going up and falling down. Malasam v'iridasam. He sees malachim going up and going down. V'zeta malachei elokim. They refer to as the malachei elokim kemoshe ne'mar b'Daniel. Daniel, the second half, the first half of Sefer Daniel, the first six prakim, are the stories, the events in the life of Daniel, his interaction with Nebuchadnezzar, his interaction with Belshazzar, the writing on the wall, his interaction with Daryavesh when he's thrown into the pit of lions as a punishment for davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the first half of Daniel, the first six prakim. The last six prakim are the visions, the chalomos that Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh that Daniel had and the interpretation of them. And those visions tend to be full of malachim. And some of those malachim are specifically, explicitly identified as This is the Tsar of Malchus Yavan. This is the Tsar of Malchus Pars. This Malach is in charge of the Persian Empire. This Malach is in charge of what's going to become the Greek Empire. Greek Empire, reference to Alexander, right? Who won decisive battles against the Persian Empire. So he says, you look in Daniel, you come across this concept of a Tsar, a Malach who's a Tsar of a particular nation. You mentioned that Chazal talk about that in the context of next week's Parsha. Parsha Yishlach, Yaakov Avinu is grappling with this mysterious figure. So I believe the Gemara already says that was Saro Shel Esav. That was a Tsar, not just of Esav the man, but a Tsar sounds like a Malach who's appointed to a nation or a person who's going to become a nation. So now what's their connection between the vision of the Malachim versus the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, he's watching, and what does this have to do with the Olim, the Yordim, the going up and going down? Amru, he quotes the Medrash at number 10. Her lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Malachios, Moshlan v'Avdan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him four empires that would rise and fall. He sees Babylonia go up 70 rungs on the ladder and fall down 70 years of Galus Babel, as Yirmiyahu had predicted Benavua. He sees the Tsar Madai goes up 180 ukim, and then he falls down. And then he sees Tsar Malchus Edom. Olave in Yored. That's the Galus that we're still in. Yaakov says, Gevald, what's going to be? And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, in Tagbiyah Kanesher, he may fly very high, Galus Edom, Malchus Edom, but ultimately, even Galus Edom will come to an end with the coming of Mashiach. So, what now, how is he plugging it back in? Malachim, then, why are Malachim going up and coming down?
Falling down.
Right, because you're watching, it's not that Malachim came down from Shemayim to do something. This is an image of history. You're watching the rise and fall of the Babylonian Empire. The rise and fall of the Persians, the rise and fall of the Greeks, the rise and rise and rise of Rome, which ultimately falls, but morphed into, many would say, into Christian Europe. And that Gaulus is still going on, but that Gaulus also will ultimately come to a close. And Rabban is also saying, not only is this an alternative interpretation of why Malachim go up first and then come down, but the relationship between that first image and the second half of Nevuah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu atop the ladder speaking to him, for the Ramban, that was an even higher level of the same. For the Ramban's Pshat, Api Pshat, he was saying, everyone gets taken care of me via Malachim, you're going to get taken care of me even more directly. It was even more of the same. For the second approach that he's quoting, the Medrash, the Pirkei Belezer, it's contrast. You see these various powers rise and dominate Klal Yisrael at different points in Jewish history. They come and go. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but I'm the one who's really in charge. I'm Nitzav al Hasulam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is atop all this. He's overlooking all this. And so in the moment it looks very scary, in the moment it looks like Klal Yisrael are down and out, you might be down, but you're not out. Those nations will come and go, but Klal Yisrael endures permanently. And going back, he had said before in introducing this alternative shot of the Pirkei Belezer, he had said, this is like the Bris Ben Absarim. How so? So Rav Shavel, in the footnote, you see that star, the numbered footnotes are just Mar Makamos. The star is taking down to the bottom, the longer footnotes, like the Bir Halacha style, where he actually quotes or gives interpretation. Zikot Rabbeinu Bachaye, that what's the connection to Bris Ben Absarim? Because he quotes a medrash, the language of Bris Ben Absarim, Eime Gedola Hashaychan Ophel Salav, is a reference to the various Galios. So there's a reference to the various Galios. Here's a reference to the various Galios. It could also be that it's deeper than that, deeper or different. Broader, I should say, than that. It could also be that what he's driving at is not only that the specifics of the four Golios appear both in Brismei Absarim and this Halom, but what was the introduction to the Brismei Absarim? Yotzeh Oso Achutza. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes him outside. Why does he take him outside? Rashi quotes one of the approaches of Chazal is Tzemi Tzagnina Shalcha. If he was inside a tent, he had to go outside to see the stars. But why do we need to hear that? No. Because I think we spoke about it at the time, a couple weeks ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself was a message. You're not Tachas Memshel Sakochavim. The stars, Mazalos, are a metaphor, an image to capture the notion that there are laws, there are rules of history. Just like there are laws of physics and chemistry, there are patterns to history, there are patterns to the development of human societies, there are patterns to the rise and fall of different human power brokers. And one of the things you see over time, as you study history, is that different major powers may rise more rapidly, may fall more gradually, but every power comes and goes. Every power has its time, and then they move into the footnotes of history, with the exception of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the history of Klal Yisrael is totally at odds. It's orthogonal to the way nations tend to develop. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. Same, it's like, Nil Shalcha, Vayotze Yisrael Chutza, Ein Mazel Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael will not be subject to the normal patterns of history. And that, perhaps, is what the Ramban is saying here as well. As with the Bris Ben Absalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing Avraham Avinu, it's showing Yaakov Avinu, you see all these nations, all these powers will rise and fall? You're going to watch that. It's going to look scary. But no, not only will they not destroy you, you're not going to have that same pattern. You're not going to disappear as the Babylonians did, as the Sumerians did, as the Romans did. Ein mazali Yisrael. So what do we have so far? Rashi understands that the malachim going up and down are malachi Eretz Yisrael, malachi Chutzlaretz, taking care. It's a changing of the guard. And by the way, with the Ramban's, with what we gained from the Ramban, we appreciate that a little more. Probably the idea of malachi Eretz Yisrael, malachi Chutzlaretz corresponds to the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, Yaakovinu is enjoying a more direct type of hashkacha pratis in the palace of the king than when he's in Chutzlaretz. So that's that changing of the guard. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you, but it's going to be a little less direct when you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ramban said, Adrabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him, other people get, I take care of others through malachim, I take care of you directly. And even in Chutzlar, it's going to be scary. Hini Anochi Imach. Number three was what the Ramban quote from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, which is that this wasn't something happening right now. He was showing him history. He was showing him a big picture of human history. It's going to be rising and falling, not the Malach Eretz Yisrael leaving, Malach Chutzlar is coming down. Not watching specific Malachim go up to consult and come down to implement, but watching the rise and fall of different empires that corresponds to the rise and fall of their particular Tsar, their particular national Malach, where, by contrast, you, Klal Yisrael, in an Ochi Imach in a consistent way. And then a question, and then one final approach, which is personal and powerful.
Is this how Yaakov Avinu knew what Mashiach was? Because he saw it in the stream?
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. So at the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, he's going to want to be Megal the Kates. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he was counting rungs, so he had a sense of how long Golios would be. Certainly he had a sense there would be four Golios, and that the fourth one would be very, 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 very long. That's a very interesting point.
No, but the Medrash doesn't say that.
Older than a Yorah. I said it wasn't clear to him. I don't know what happens at the end, though. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Takbiya Kanesha, and then he watches the star fall down. He doesn't see the star fall down, but he knows that he's going to fall down. That's interesting. He certainly knew how, he certainly had a sense at least of minimally how long it would be. Now, I want to share with you one last shot, and then we'll take more questions. And the last shot is totally at odds with the previous pshat. The previous pshat was these are Sar, the Sarim who take care of the nations, and this is big picture. The last trial I'll share with you is very, very personal, and very, very, I would say, lemaisa, and I think very, very energizing, and it's something that could give a person a lot of support, and a lot of chizuk. Adolescents need chizuk, everyone needs chizuk. What the Gemara says, I think if you unpack it, that's something the Farshim do, I think it gives a lot of chizuk. It's very personal, unlike the third shot we just gave, Perek Tabeleza, which was national and historical. It's also, unlike all three pshatim we gave, the malachims, what those three pshatim had in common, Rashi, Ramban al-Derech Pshat, and Ramban b'Shem Perek Tabeleza, all three of them, where the malachim had the same basic role, which was, they were the tools of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha over someone. For the Rashi, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha over Yaakov. For Ramban's Pshat, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha over everyone else in the world except for Yaakov. And in the Perek Tabeleza, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha over various empires, various nations. The Gemara in Chulin gives the following approach. Why are they Olam V'Yordim? Right, we go back to where we started. Why are they Olam V'Yordim? What does this mean, B'chlal? What's the significance of this? And why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell him by showing him this picture? And why specifically the Olam V'Yordim? And what are these malachim doing? What's their role? Gemara says, a little bit similar to where Rabban's first approach, they had already come down, and they go back up, and then come back down. But why are they going back up and coming back down? Ramban had said, Pipshuto, they go back up to get instruction of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they come back down to carry out God's instructions. Gemara Chulin suggests they look at Yaakov Avinu and they needed to go up to compare. We've seen this before. He looks very familiar. He looks very familiar. I recently came across someone who was a twin, identical twin of someone that I know. So I saw that person. That person didn't know who I am. We never met before. I didn't know who that person was either. I knew that person's identical twin. And it's totally like with a different family, like the whole thing didn't make sense until I realized that it's not who I think it is. That's why she's with a different husband, different set of children, because she's a different person. Like all of a sudden everything makes sense. The malachim come and see someone who looks very familiar, really familiar, and they go to check. Because we're going back to Yechezkel in the Merkava, this maybe is described a little bit, and I don't remember in the Merkava of Yeshaya also in Perek Vav, but the Nevi'im describe this, it's a metaphor. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, doesn't sit on a chair, but it's a metaphor that captures some idea, some Kabbalistic idea of that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits on a Kisei HaKavod, sits in a Merkava, whatever that means. And it's described as having four sides and an image on each of the four sides. Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, and Pnei Adam. The image of a person's face. Okay. You don't really know what that means. It must capture some idea about how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay. We're not Mekubalim, so we don't know Ma'aseh Merkava. Okay. The Mishnah tells us at the beginning of the second paragraph of Chagiga that Ma'aseh Merkava is Kabbalah. Okay, so we're not initiated, we don't know. But the Gemara does tell us the following, Chulim Tzadi Alef Ambeis. The Gemara says that the Malachim are down on planet Earth. They come across Yaakov Avinu sleeping. 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 And they say, hey, we recognize that face. Where have we seen that face before? He's the face up in Shamayim. He's the Pnei Adam up in Shamayim. And the guy will go up to Kisei HaKavod to Merkava, and they check. Yeah. And they come back down. And they're ready to kill him. Bol Sakune. They're ready to kill him. It's a little surprising. Yeah. Why are we killing him? And the Hine Hashem needs to love, the Gemara explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the connection from the vision of the Malachim going up and down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops Malachim, don't hurt Yaakov. He's going to continue moving forward. What does that mean? What? If Yaakov's face is up in Shamayim, on the Merkava, on the Kisya Kavod, why does Malach want to kill him? He must be you don't get to be more of a VIP than that. Your face is up there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are they trying to kill Yaakov? Adrava, they should be thrilled to be with Yaakov. He is the ultimate Pnei Adam. Why do they want to kill him?
He's sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe they want him up there. That's an interesting point. So I was thinking about the Gadat and Shabbos, how the Malachim want the Torah to stay in Shemayim. I mean, they want Yaakov in Shemayim. That's interesting. It could be. The language of the Gemara is Bolu Sakune. The Bilash is Sakara. They wanted to endanger him. They wanted to imperil him. So if they want him, like, we want you to be in Al Habar already, I probably would have heard a more, I would guess, it was hard to know, you maybe would have expected a more positive terminology. But that is one way to go. One way to go is, they're so taken by Yaakov Avinu. But it does have a negative ring to it. So if it's negative, it sounds like they're punishing him. Why would they want to punish him?
They don't want to be overtaken by
Yaakov. They don't want to be, oh, they're afraid of Yaakov. He's more of a Baal Madrega. Could be. It could be. That's assuming that these Malachim have they're jealous. They have their own edge, their own ego. Unless what they're doing is just. Could it be that there's a just reason that justice demands, from Malachim's perspective, Malachi Elokim, Midas Adin, he deserves to die. Why would he deserve to die? He saw his face in Shemayim.
Exactly.
So what did I tell you before about it, I came across that twin. He doesn't look exact. It is Yaakov. Here is the exact reverse. It is Yaakov's face. But he doesn't look the same. We saw Yaakov in Shemayim, the ideal Yaakov. And this is the way some understand the Gemara. The Pnei Adam captures the total potential of Yaakov realized. What Yaakov looks like if he accomplishes everything that he's capable of accomplishing. If he fully invests all of his talents and does it all, 100% of the potential of Yaakov invested looks like that in Shemayim. And they come down, and here he is, sleeping. You're sleeping! Everyone has to sleep. Everyone has to sleep. Going back to conversations I had with some of you over the last couple of weeks, everyone should sleep. But again, metaphorically speaking, you could be accomplishing so much. You're not everything you could. They see Yaakov Avinu. He is the same person, but he doesn't look the same. Yaakov Avinu here is a fraction of what he could be. We know, the Malachim say, everything you could be. If you would be everything that you could be, you would look like that. But you don't look like that. You're not fully actualizing your potential. You're not being everything you could be. Bolo Sakune. He said, you're capable of being so much more than you are, you don't deserve to stay in this world. Malachi Elokim, Midas Adin, they say, that's it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you already many, many, he's already been here for a good 7-8 decades. Sorry, you're done. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not how I operate. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Malachim, no. I give people more time. And I have more patience for people. Erech HaPayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinei achni imach v'shmarti b'chol sher teilech. I'm going to... And it's that's the shame that's used is Hinei Hashem nitzav alav. That's Midas Harachim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says it's true. Yaakov has not yet fully actualized his potential, and I'm going to give him more opportunity to do that. I'm going to value what he's already accomplished, and I do still expect of him to stretch more and to stretch higher, and I'm going to keep giving him more opportunities. To do that. And indeed, right, on the calendar, we're at approximately the midpoint, loosely speaking, of Yaakov Avinu's life. Approximately. Give or take a couple of years. But from the perspective of Yaakov's impact in building Klal Yisrael, from the perspective of which episodes in his life are recorded in Chumash, the majority is yet to come. The vast majority is yet. We just met Yaakov Avinu in Parsha Toldos. And the whole rest of Chumash, going through the whole rest of Sefer Bereishis, we could be hearing about Yaakov almost to the end of Vayechi. So much, much, much is yet to come. So that, I think, is a very, very powerful, as I said before, very personal and very energizing. Because I think we all struggle with this sometimes. Like, who am I? Who can I be? Am I really doing what I could be doing? So sometimes, and we sometimes suffer in almost opposite ways. Sometimes we suffer from thinking that, yeah, well, what can I accomplish already? Well, what am I worth? What can I do already? I'm just a kid. He's doing big things, and he's doing big things. What am I going to do already? You see your face, but there's much more that you could accomplish than you have accomplished so far. Sometimes in the other direction, sometimes we suffer from, number one, and not believing ourselves enough. Sometimes we suffer from being too hard on ourselves and saying, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm not seeing what I ought to be seeing. I should be doing so much more. I messed up on this and I failed at that. I didn't come through for this person. I didn't come through for myself. I didn't come through for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes we overly focus on our failures. I know how much potential I have, and I'm so upset with myself for not doing everything I could do that I just get down. So it is important to recognize what I should be doing that I'm not yet doing. It is important to make a cheshbon nefesh, as we'll get to Mitzvah Mesirah Mesilas Yesharim, specifically in Perek Gimel. But not, as he stresses subtly, but stresses in Perek Gimel, Ramchal stresses in Perek Gimel Mesilas Yesharim, not when I recognize, I take pride in what I've accomplished, he says, and I recognize the things I'm not yet doing, but not to wallow in pity or in putting myself down, self-degradation, but he says, to recognize, I'm proud of, here are the things I'm already doing right, and here are the things that I'm not yet coming through on, and what's the plan for tomorrow? What's the new strategy for next week, for next time? And that's what this, I think, that's what this Gemara is capturing. Yeah, there is a Pnei Adam that's much higher and more elevated than what Yaakov has become so far. He has not yet realized his full potential. You also have not yet realized your full potential. And even Yaakov was way halfway through his life. He was many decades older than you are. But he was just getting started in terms of what he was going to accomplish. Malachim are ready to meet us at dinner. We're going to shut him down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. With my Midas HaRachamim, I'm going to act on Midas HaRachamim. Yaakov Avinu has plenty to do. There's plenty yet left to accomplish. He hasn't come through in everything that he could have come through. Okay. And we'll give him more opportunities. We'll give him more opportunities. And we'll wrap this up with a vertel. I heard from my father-in-law, Bishem, my grandfather-in-law, Rav Melech Schechter. So they were once with a relative, who was not a Talmud Chacham, but enjoyed the good vart. Had learned, this relative in his youth had learned in yeshiva, had not been involved in learning for many years at that point. And so he asked him, tell me something. Tell me the vart. Shechter said, my father said, he told him a shikul Torah, and that's not what the relative was looking for. He told him something in the parsha, but it was, it wasn't what he was looking for. Then Melech told him a vart on this. And it's a cute vertel. It's a cute remez, but I think it captures this very important truth. Yaakov Avinu wakes up. Yikatz Yaakov Mishnaso Vayomer Ochein Yesh Hashem Akvazeh. Wow! HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Gila Shechina here. The incredible Ashwas Hashchina is this location. Vanochi Lo Yodati, I didn't know. Ochein Yesh Hashem Akvazeh Vanochi Lo Yodati. So Rav Melech said, "Vertel, Achein Yesh Hashem Akam Azeh, but Anochi Lo Yadati. I didn't know Anochi. Achein Anochi is the same letters as Achein plus a Yud. Right? So he says, I knew that there was Arye Kruv and Nesher, but I didn't know there's also Yud for Yaakov. I know that I'm on the I'm in the Merkava and the Kisa covered. That I didn't know. Vanochi lo yadati. The relative enjoyed it. It's a cute vertel, but I think what it captures is this idea. That on the one hand, the way the Gemara is understanding the dynamic in the dream, there's the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patience. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's been giving more opportunities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's been giving more training, even though I haven't yet done everything I ought to do. And at the same time, there's also that sense of ambition. I didn't realize I have so much potential. Anochi lo yadati. I didn't realize that there's a yud up there also. I didn't realize that mamash da'am up to kisa kapan amerkava. Wow. I had no idea how much I could accomplish. I thought, whatever, what am I going to do already? I'm just a kid. I'm just a this. I'm just a that. Fill in the blanks. We all have our own self-talk. Sometimes we have the self-talk that we beat ourselves up for not doing the right thing, not doing enough. And it's important to rise above that. And sometimes we have the self-talk that what am I worth and what I, you know, there's not that much I can do. There's not that much I'm going to amount to. Anochi lo yadati. Your potential is far, far greater. Almost invariably, your potential is far, far greater than you might imagine. So to believe in yourself and to be in a healthy, balanced way, to be ambitious, and to expect of yourself in the long term, and at the same time to be patient with yourself and not beat yourself up for not already having done everything right, not already having done everything I ought to be doing. To be patient with myself and in that context to be ambitious. Since, as I said, this fourth approach to the dream of Yaakov Avinu is a very, very personal one. And just personally, I find, I hope perhaps you do also, very energizing. Very energizing, very reassuring, a lot of deep positivity in this dream. And then Yaakov, and this is the beginning of Yaakov's career. For the other three pshat, that's due to the fact that Yaakov is going to a precarious situation and is going to Golus. Personally, nationally. So that's why it's a discussion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmira, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of him even when he's in dangerous situations. For this fourth approach, the timing of this message is that this is the beginning of Yaakov's career. Finding Shiduchim and giving birth to the 12 Shvatim and everything that's going to follow from that, that's all to come. And the introduction to his career, he already has been learning in Beis HaMedrash for decades. But the building Klal Yisrael part of his career, so that this is the introduction. You have to dream big, bigger than maybe you give yourself credit for, and at the same time, you also have to be patient with yourself in terms of expect of yourself, but also be patient with yourself in the way they expect you.